Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, September 10th. I'm Abby Larico. People who are incarcerated will often spend that time behind bars preparing to have a better, more productive life when they're released. But that can be difficult when they're literally marked with signs of their past.
I don't want to be 60, 70 years old with tattoos in my face.
The effort to help people in prison get rid of their tattoos as part of their rehabilitation. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The push to redraw Missouri's congressional lines is now before the Missouri Senate. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum has more on the contentious House debate over a map that could oust longtime Democratic Congressman Emanuel Cleaver.
Representative Dirk Deaton's bill would convert Cleaver's Kansas City-based district into a GOP-leaning seat. The McDonald County Republican says the map is more compact and competitive than one passed in 2022.
Our friends on the other side of the aisle have, so decided that they'd just so much rather be out of touch with Missouri voters than to fight for their votes.
Democratic House Minority Leader Ashley Onney of Kansas City says Republicans are subservient to President Donald Trump, who pushed for the new map.
But you are blindly doing the bidding of a wannabe dictator who needs to cheat to win.
The Senate is expected to debate the new map later this week. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House has also sent the Senate a proposal to make it much harder to pass some constitutional amendments. Republican Representative Ed Lewis's proposal would require any amendment put on the ballot through the initiative petition process to pass in a statewide vote and in all 8 congressional districts. Currently, a constitutional amendment only needs a statewide vote to pass. Republican Representative Bill Lucas of Jefferson County says that's not a high enough bar.
To change our Constitution should be harder. It should be a little more difficult. This is not putting an undue burden on anybody, both sides, the far right and the far left.
But Democratic Representative Marty Murray of St. Louis criticized the proposal for still allowing amendments that lawmakers put before voters to pass with just a statewide vote.
I feel like that's very disingenuous to our voters and the people that sent us here. And it's like every day we walk in this chamber, it's like we're playing a game of how far will Missourians bend before they break.
If the Senate passes it, Missourians would need to approve the law change at the ballot box by a statewide vote. St. Louis Public Schools leadership pushed back against recent scrutiny of the district's finances and operations during last night's school board meeting. STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports.
Before the district dove into its back-to-school update, SLPS leadership responded to Missouri State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick's audit of the district. The report said the district was in poor financial health and needed to change course quickly to avoid a budgetary collapse. Here's Superintendent Millicent Borchade.
The critical failure in budgetary practices, procurement, hiring, and internal controls all predates this leadership.
She served as SLPS's chief of schools during the audit period. The district says it's working on a plan to balance its budget while also navigating possible school closures and falling student enrollment. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Illinois Supreme Court has announced Justice P. Scott Neville Jr. will become the state's 123rd Chief Justice. Capital News Illinois reports he will succeed the current Chief Justice, Mary Jane Tice, in that position starting October 26th. Neville was first appointed to the court in 2018 and was elected to a full 10-year term on the court in 2020. He will become only the second Black Chief Justice in the state's history. 7 justices serve on the Illinois Supreme Court. The Chief Justice is selected by the other justices and serves a 3-year term. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is urging vigilance as the U.S. Supreme Court upholds immigration patrols in Los Angeles. Alex Degman reports.
The nation's high court said someone's perceived ethnicity cannot be the only reason for an immigration stop, but conservative Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote it should be considered among other salient factors. Pritzker says the state cannot stop these types of patrols amid a major immigration enforcement push here, but he says residents can take precautions.
Federal law trumps state law. period, end of sentence. And so what we can do is make sure that people know their rights and that they're staying out of the way.
Pritzker reiterated that the state will take the Trump administration to court if they break state or federal law. He says that includes deploying the National Guard to Chicago absent his request, a request he says he's not making. I'm Alex Degman.
A former attorney for President Trump, who now leads the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, wants to undo a landmark Illinois gun law. A challenge to the state's assault weapons ban, enacted by Governor Pritzker, is now before a federal appeals court. That court is agreeing to let Justice Department official Harmeet Dillon argue against the law. Hannah Hill is with the pro-gun National Foundation for Gun Rights and says Dillon's involvement signals a shift in thinking.
Harmeet has done a new thing by unequivocally stating multiple times the Second Amendment rights are civil rights. And everything that she's doing at the Justice Department is underscoring the fact that she means that.
Senator Dick Durbin slammed Dillon ahead of her spring confirmation. He said she's, quote, more likely to attack civil rights than defend them. Work on improving safety along Route 100 in St. Louis has started. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports on the changes coming to that corridor, including a protected bike lane.
The six-mile stretch of road that runs from Broadway to the St. Louis city limits along Choteau and Manchester Avenues has seen over 1,500 crashes in the past 5 years. A $7 million MoDOT construction project seeks to make it safer. The project will decrease the number and width of lanes along the route to reduce driving speed, resurface the road, and add protected bike lanes. Matt Wichowkowski with the Coalition to Protect Cyclists and Pedestrians advocated for protected bike lanes along the street.
This is a big street. This is a street a lot of cyclists use. And having these improvements will be a lot, make things a lot safer.
Construction is expected to be completed by the end of next year. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Many people doing time in prison say they're working to better themselves, but some of the problems they face with that go beyond skin deep. Lauren Frost takes us to Canton, Illinois, where an inmate has an idea for a program to help provide a fresh start.
This is Adonis Veal. He's incarcerated at Illinois River Correctional Center, a prison in central Illinois. And that problem he's dealing with, his face is covered in tattoos.
I think my teardrops was my first tattoo.
Some gang-related stuff.
Then I got the 6.G.
One is a hate symbol, though he says that's not why he got it. Adonis says ever since he began serving his sentence, he's wanted to take them all off.
I want to change my circle, my crowd, and I just wanted to change my appearance because it's like I don't want to be 60, 70 years old with tattoos in my face.
He has no way to remove them or cover them while he's in the custody of the Illinois Department of Corrections.
I think that if guys could take advantage of that opportunity, they would.
That's where his idea comes in, for a state law to establish a tattoo removal program for incarcerated people. And it turns out, it's not such a wild idea. I paid a visit to Redemption Studio. It's a state-licensed tattoo parlor, and it's inside the DuPage County Jail in Wheaton, Illinois.
Well, this is a fully functional tattoo studio. We got everything we need here.
This is Nick Perry, an artist with Empire Tattoos. He's working with a client named Matthew, who's been getting some gang tattoos removed and covered.
At first, it's kind of difficult because you've had them for a long time. They become a part of you.
But Matthew says his mind changed as he got older. He's got 3 grandkids now.
And if you take a realistic look at your life, the decision doesn't only affect me. It affects my family. So as I got older, it's a lot easier to make the decision.
The artists and technicians who visit Redemption Studio don't just hide gang tattoos or hate symbols. They'll cover branding marks from human trafficking, scars from bullet wounds or self-harm, anything that might make it hard for someone to move forward. This is just one program at one county-run jail. The Illinois Department of Public Health says it's not aware of any other body art studios in the state that are inside prisons or jails. But traveling studios are another option. California's Department of Corrections launched a statewide tattoo removal program in 2023. Associate Warden Melanie Bruns says they work with a contractor who drives mobile studios to all the different state prisons there.
I would highly encourage other Department of Corrections to consider this. The feedback that we've gotten from our population has been nothing but positive. I mean, we have wait lists at almost all of our institutions.
The Illinois Department of Corrections denied our request for an interview about whether it's considered a tattoo removal program here. Back at Illinois River Prison, Adonis hopes legislators will consider his pitch for what he's calling the Adonis L. Veal Tattoo Removal Act. In the meantime, he's finding other ways to reinvent himself.
I'm like 60% better than what I was coming in. I think the other 40% will be when I hit the gate and practice everything that I learned behind these prison walls.
Adonis says he's educating himself, working, reading, and trying to make the most of his time. I'm Lauren Frost.
Lauren's a producer for Prison Cast. That's an audio project for people inside Illinois prisons and their loved ones on the outside. It's produced by NPR member station WBEZ in Chicago. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.